As I said a little bit ago, we are beginning today a new series on Hebrews chapter 11 called Experience Faith. As we finished up our series on the power of hope, and actually probably when I first started working on hope, God began to work in my heart about what we would do after that series, being a short series, and I felt God just stirring my heart to take a fresh look at Hebrews chapter 11, the great list of ancient heroes who make up what has been called the Hall of Fame of Faith. And I felt compelled to do this for a couple of reasons. First of all, I noticed that faith has been badly misunderstood. Many people would agree with the little boy who said that faith is believing what you know isn't true. That's what the little boy thought, you know. Or they think faith is the opposite of rational thought. As if faith is nothing more than positive thinking or wishful dreaming on our part. Many people make the mistake of confusing faith with the feeling, with feeling, so that if they don't feel it, then it must not be true. So faith has been badly misunderstood. But then also, I believe that faith is better illustrated than explained. You see, we all know men and women whose faith inspire us. And almost always, it is those people whose faith has been made strong through adversity. Faith that is never put to the test is only theoretical. We don't need a textbook on faith. We need to see faith in the overalls of life. Show us what it looks like in the nitty gritty of life. That's what we need when we talk about faith. We need to see it in action. And that's where Hebrews chapter 11 comes in. You see, more than any other chapter of the Bible, it shows us what faith looks like on the firing line. When we study these men and women, we are seeing faith work itself out in the lives of ordinary men and women who under enormous pressure faces great odds, often with the whole world against them. And they lived by faith. And through doing all of that, they gained God's approval. Now, when I read this chapter, I said to myself, that's what it means to keep believing. That's what it means to have faith. And I say, God, help me to live like those men and women. Help me to demonstrate my faith in that same way. And so I start this series with the same prayer that the disciples had in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. Lord, increase our faith. I want to see my own faith grow, and I want to see my faith stretched. I'd like to see that in you as well, but if nothing else, I want to see it in my own life. I want to see God help me to trust Him in those difficult times of life and where I can see Him and know that He is at work. I want the same thing for you as I want for me. So that's why we're going to climb this great mountain peak of the Holy Scripture. Faith is never meant to be a one-time experience. You understand that? In our circles, I think that it's tempting for us to fall into that trap of being a one-time thing because we put so much emphasis on being saved by faith. We talk about accepting Christ and receiving Christ and trusting Christ and giving our hearts to Christ, and we challenge people to respond in faith to the gospel invitation that we give, and this is well and good. But sometimes, I think if we're not careful, we leave the impression that having been saved by faith, the rest of life is up to us. And that's not so. Because you see, the same faith that saves us is the faith that carries us from day to day as we make the journey from earth to heaven. And that's why the Bible says that the righteous will live by his faith. And we are told that the gospel reveals a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last. And so we understand that the whole Christian life is a life of faith. We are saved by faith, we are kept by faith, and we walk by faith, we endure by faith, we rejoice by faith, we serve by faith, we love by faith, we sacrifice by faith, we pray by faith and worship by faith, and we obey by faith. Everything in life comes to this issue of faith. Not only in the realm of the spiritual, but even in other areas of life. We get married by faith. We have children by faith. All that we do in life, we do by faith. Now, why is faith so important? Well, I jotted down a short list as a way to focus our thinking. We understand that faith is the condition of our justification. Faith is the way we receive everlasting life. Faith is the means of access to God. Faith is the only way to please God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the key to answered prayers. Faith is the title deed to all that God has promised. Now, because God himself is entirely faithful, and the scriptures teach us that in Deuteronomy 7:9, he honors those who love him enough to trust him completely. So the question that we have before us in this talk this morning is both simple and profound. And that question that we have is, what is faith and how does it work? This, I believe, is a crucial topic, because I think we often don't appreciate how precious and how precarious is the life of faith. So, we need to define faith to begin with. I think it'll come up there. In the entire Bible, there is no clearer instruction on faith than Hebrews chapter 11. Most of us know it as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And so here we have a long list of Old Testament heroes, most of them introduced with the phrase by faith. And we can go down through in verse 4 of chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abel. Verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7 says, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents. Verse 24, by faith, Moses. In verse 29, it says, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. In verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. In verse 31, by faith, Rahab, the prostitute. And he doesn't even have time to mention the individual exploits of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, according to verse 32. And they and all of the other heroes of the faith are summarized in this fashion in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33 down through verse 35, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's a wonderful list. And we can all think of the great biblical heroes who did those things. But that's only part of the story. Look at the rest of verse 35 down through verse 37 or 38. Verse 36 says, still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. Who are those poor souls? What have they done to deserve this kind of punishment in life? The writer simply calls them others. We don't even know who they are. They're just others who served God. We have the great stories and we can tell the story of Moses and David and all of those, but the others, they are others who live by faith. These men and women who endured such torments were living by faith just as much as Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joseph, and God knows their names. Their faith was not weaker. If anything, their faith was stronger because it enabled them to endure incredible sufferings in their life. They are not lesser saints because we don't have their names here. Because they're not lesser saints because they found no miracles in their life and yet they endured. If anything, they are greater saints because they were faithful even when things didn't work out right. Verse 39 gives us a summary statement of the whole list. These were all commended for their faith. So as we stand back and we study this list, there are three factors that quickly emerge here. Though these individuals are widely separated by time and space and by personality and individual achievements, they are joined by one common factor. What they did by faith. And this is why they won God's approval. There wasn't much that joined Abraham and Rahab except faith. At a crucial moment in time, each of them acted in faith. And God saw their faith, and God rewarded it. But then also we see living by faith often meant moving against the prevailing tide of public opinion. All of them had to face that. And if you and I are going to be men and women of faith, we need to understand that though our personalities and our achievements and our abilities and all of those things are different, we still have to act by faith, and we will also have to move against the prevailing tide of public opinion. Noah built an ark, and Abraham left the Ur, the Chaldees, and Moses rejected Egypt, and Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. And the same principle holds true today. If you decide to live by faith, you will definitely stand out from the crowd around you, and you may face opposition, and you may even face ridicule in your life. But then also we see in Hebrews chapter 11, it demonstrates that the life of faith is not a rarity, You see, it's easy to look at Enoch or Noah or Joseph or Moses and or David and say, I could never do that. You ever said that? I couldn't do what those guys did. Down deep in our hearts, we have believed a lie that the life of faith is restricted to a few special people in life. We think we could never qualify to have our names added to the list of Hebrews chapter 11. But that's the very reason this chapter is in the Bible, so that we would know that these are ordinary men and women who did extraordinary things simply because they had faith in God. They are made of the same stuff that you and I are made of. The life of faith is within the reach of every believer. If we desire it, we can live like that too. And our names can be added to that hall of fame of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 offers us a concise definition of faith. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here is an unusual word that refers to the essential nature of things. It was sometimes used of the foundation of a house. And outside of the New Testament, it was used for the title deed of a piece of property. Faith is the title deed to things in the future, things hoped for, things promised by the Lord. It is the confident assurance that what we hope for will someday come to pass. The word evidence refers to legal proof in a courtroom. Faith is proof to the soul that enables us to see things that cannot be seen by the naked eye. By faith, we see what would otherwise be invisible. Verse 2 adds an important truth, for by it the elders obtain a good report. When the writer mentions the elders here, he's talking about the Old Testament saints like Noah and Moses and David and Ruth and Esther and Job and Daniel and all of the others who trusted in God. Now, the text literally says they received a witness. Now that seems a little bit strange in our circle of worship in the churches that we go to, but we had an opportunity for a while when we were traveling around speaking in different churches, in missions conferences and all, to be in some churches that were a lot livelier than our church. We had one church we went to Baltimore, Maryland, was a black church. There was probably, I don't know, do you remember how many people were there? I'm thinking 500-600 people. It was a huge mission conference. And the people in the pews did, I think, more talking than the pastor did. Between the amens and the shouting hallelujah and everything that was going on, and preach it, brother, and come on. And one of the things that they would say, the preacher would say, if somebody didn't shout out right away, is somebody got a witness. They wanted a witness for what was being said. Can I get a witness? They wanted someone at that point to shout amen. That's what verse 2 means. When verse 2 says, by it the elders obtained a good report, the text literally said they received a witness. Only it is God doing the witnessing. Do you understand this? You see what's happening here? These people are serving. When Moses stood up for righteousness, when David slew Goliath, when the three Hebrew children would not bow down and they were cast into that furnace, when Nebuchadnezzar rebuilt, or when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, and when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, in all of those moments, do you understand what was going on? God looked down from heaven and he said, "Amen! That's my boy! That's my girl! Those are my kids! Those, they belong to me. Look what they're doing down there. Look at how they're living." God gave a witness to what they were doing. And as I read that, I thought of my own life and I thought, does God say that when he looks down on my life? Does he say, "That's my boy. Look at him. Go get him"? Or does he say, "Would somebody please light a fire under that guy? You know? Somebody wake him up. Needs to be doing something." You see, God loves it when his people dare to trust him. He loves it so much that he bears witness to the world that his people belong to him. We feel separated from Abraham, and we are. We feel separated from David, and we are. By time, we're separated. The great heroes of the faith seem far removed from us. And it's hard to think about the Apostle John trying to sync up his iPod. It's hard to think of Jeremiah ordering a Starbucks. We tend to think of them as dim, mystic characters whose faces just peer out of the pages of our Sunday school papers. Yet one thing joins us with them: faith. What they did by faith. And time, and culture, and language, and history. There is vast gaps between us and them, and yet what won them approval wins us approval. Faith. That's what God honors. That's what God's looking for. God isn't looking for the time in which we live. God isn't looking for the country we live in, or our cultures or anything like that. God's looking for faith. Those old timers knew much less than we know. And yet they accomplished so much more than we accomplish. This is how God honors faith. He says, "Show me a little and I'll show you a lot." Now let me pause for a word of application here. There is a sense in which living by faith requires a measure of holy discontentment. In other words, you've got to want some things that you don't have in order to have faith. Because faith always deals with things hoped for. If you've already got everything you need and want and desire, and if for you all of the promises of God have all already been fulfilled and came true in your life, if you have reached a state of spiritual perfection in your life, if all of your prayers have been answered, and if all of your loved ones are saved and serving the Lord, and if there is no lack anywhere in any area that you can see, you don't need faith because you're already living in heaven. Already, you just don't realize you're there. If you are satisfied with the current state of affairs, then you can just skip this talk altogether, because it doesn't apply to you. But as long as we live in a world where there's cancer, we need faith. As long as we live in a world where marriages are breaking up and children are suffering, as long as there are killings going on around us and leaders disappoint us, and as long as there is hatred and violence and prejudice and all manner of evil in the world, as long as death reigns, we will need faith because the things hoped for have not yet come to pass. What then is faith? Think about these three words with me. The word believe, the word see, and the word do. Faith believes what others do not believe. Faith sees what others do not see. Faith does what others do not do. True faith is never passive. True faith moves us to act and to do and to try, to build, to attempt, to explain, to say things that maybe others won't like, say things that would bring glory to God, say no to sin, say yes to righteousness, dare to move beyond our dreams, dare to walk around Jericho again and again and again until at last the walls come tumbling down. Someone once defined faith as outrageous trust in God. I like that. Outrageous trust is what you have when you build an ark hundreds of miles away from any body of water. Outrageous trust compels you to leave your home not knowing where you are going to go. Outrageous trust sends you into the Elon Valley to face Goliath. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed outrageous trust in God? If you've never been there, then I would have to say that your Christian life has been too boring. You need some outrageous trust in your life. So as we come to the end of our study, we can draw, I think, three important conclusions about the nature of faith. I think, first of all, faith is not a feeling, but it is a conscious choice to believe what God has said. We will never progress in the spiritual life as long as we stay on the plane of our feelings. If Noah had waited until he felt like building an ark, he might not have ever laid that first piece of gopher wood. If Joshua had waited till he felt like marching around Jericho, those walls would maybe still be standing today. Now understand, feelings are important, but they are not the basis of true faith. When you are in a hospital waiting room while a loved one is in surgery, you may or may not feel positive. And in that moment, you must trust God in His sovereign power to take care of your loved one in His way. And so we make a choice to trust God, even though the circumstances are out of our control. Faith chooses, then acts, and then the feelings follow. But then also, we see that faith acts even in the face of doubt and opposition. In other words, if we wait until all of the circumstances are in our favor, we'll probably wait forever. David didn't wait for Goliath to go blind. I mean, that'd been an easy thing, wouldn't it? Just, as soon as he can't see me, I'll go out there, you know? He didn't wait. He trusted God, and he walked down into that valley to face the giants. If we wait for our doubts to disappear, we'll have to wait for a very, very long time. Someone said that faith is belief plus unbelief and acting on the belief part. Sooner or later, we all have to act on the belief part, don't we? Abraham did, and Moses did, and Samuel did, and all the heroes of the Bible acted on the belief part, and so can you and I. But then also, faith sees what others do not see. My favorite definition of this faith comes from Philip Yancey, who says that faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. So many things in this life make no sense to us at all. We want to know why things happen the way that they do, and why couldn't things have happened some other way in our life? It would be wrong to say that faith provides all of the answers, because it doesn't. And perhaps in heaven we will fully understand, or perhaps in heaven our desire to know will be transformed by our vision of the Lord, and we won't even care because we see the Lord. But by faith, we see things that are invisible to others. And by faith, we believe in advance those things that right now make no sense at all, but one day will make perfect sense because we will view them in reverse. The world says seeing is believing, and God says believing is seeing. We believe, therefore we see. One final word and I'm done. Biblical faith is never faith in faith, as if we were believing in our own power of logic or self-persuasion. Faith can never be stronger than the object on which it rests. And since our faith rests on the Lord Jesus Christ, the essence of faith is following Him wherever He leads. Here's a little acrostic that has helped many people. Forsaking all, I take Him. Our call is not to understand, but to follow Christ wherever He leads. Whatever it costs, I'm going to follow Him. And the word of Christ to us all is always the same, and that is to come, follow me. Try it out. Come to Him. Put your life in His hands. And I believe that as we walk by faith and we trust Him, that one day our names can be added to that hall of fame of faith. And maybe we are just the others, but they are just as important to God as the ones that are listed. Do you have faith? We need to develop in that area of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truths that we've been able to study today as we looked into Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would help us to look at our own life and see whether or not we have the kind of faith that would move us forward to accomplish great things for You. Father, help us to live by faith, and not by sight and not by what we can get our hands on, but simply what You tell us to do. Father, help us to realize that as we live by faith, we will face opposition. And there will be those who think we are doing crazy things because they can't see and they don't understand. But Father, help us to step out in faith to walk with you. Father, maybe there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray, if that's the case, that today, before they leave, we would have the opportunity to show them from your word how you love them and how your son died so that they could have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in our lives now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.